You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as South Korea's Jung-hun Wang wins his maiden European Tour title with a dramatic playoff victory at the Trophy Hassan Dur.
So exciting right now. I don't remember how did I putt on the last three holes in the playoff and then 16-17-2. That was a great putt and then I'm so happy.
And we'll hear more from Jung-hun Wang later in the show. The 20-year-old edged out Nacho Elvira, but the Spaniard was pretty pleased with his week in Morocco.
I'm really happy. I mean, I've done good job as I can do today. I knew it was going to be a tough day and, you know, try to be shot by shot, hole by hole, because, you know, patience was key today, and I'm really happy the job I did today.
We'll review all the action from the Trophy Hassan Dur and also look ahead to the next stop on the race to Dubai, the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and alongside me is Gordon Brand Jr. Gordon, how are you?
I'm great, thank you very much, Dan.
Good stuff. Terrific event in Morocco. It's one that many on the European Tour look forward to. It's a real opportunity for one or two up-and-coming players to shine, isn't it?
Well, it's a massive opportunity, and Wang's win, his maiden win on tour, was wonderful. Hard fought on a brilliant, brilliant golf course. Very miserable on a Sunday. It was raining, but the golf course, I remember I went and played it in the 70s, and it was one of the longest golf courses I've ever played. Long and tight.
Well, the South Korean began the final day in fifth place on 3 under par, 2 shots off the lead. Wang carded a final round 69 to force a playoff with Spain's Nacho Elvira after both players finished on 5 under par. At 20 years old, Gordon, is it easier to win your maiden tour title because you haven't got the thoughts of maybe missing out on any number of occasions for a decade or so out on tour? Is it easier for the youngsters?
Well, I think the thing is, once you get a 26, 27 and you see your friends winning and you haven't won, it can scar you a little bit if you don't win early. So it's a great for the young man who's been playing wonderful.
And what about his putting, specifically on 18? He held 3 putts on the 18th green to see off Elvira, had to birdie it in regulation, then again on the first extra hole, and then again on the second extra hole. Extraordinary.
Well, you feel a little bit sorry for the Spaniard Elvira, but 3 long putts to win his championship was, you know, it was just his day, wasn't it? And another day, the Spaniard would have won no problem at all, but 3 big putts make a difference.
Remarkable temperament given his age. And the difficult conditions that you mentioned as well, Gordon, does that play on a player's mind going down the stretch when it's wet underneath and the rain continues to fall?
I think you have to be a bit better than that. You know, it's just as it is. You know, if it's a windy day, if you know, you can complain about the wind, but it's the same for everyone. So it just makes it a little bit uncomfortable. The rain, I think the wind is not a problem, but the rain can just make, you know, the ball skid and you feel uncomfortable, but a wonderful win for the young man.
Well, overnight leader Chris Hansen fell away after a double bogey at the 8th, missing the fairway and then failing to get up and down from the side of the green. Frenchman Clément Barrado chipped in at the 4th to grab a share of the lead, scrambling brilliantly for pars on the 10th, 11th and 12th. Barrado, though, was caught by Robert Rock when the Englishman birdied the 13th from 15 feet. However, both players dropped shots over the closing stretch, allowing Elvira to take the lead after he birdied the last. Jung-hun Wang had to hole an 18-foot effort on the 72nd hole, as we mentioned, to force extra holes with the Spaniard. Elvira then looked to be in control of the first extra hole when he reached the par 5 18th in 2. But the 20-year-old holed a 50-foot birdie effort, might not have been as long as that, and then converted from 20 feet for victory, as we mentioned, when the pair replayed the hole. Just going back to that first extra hole, Gordon, when you make the green in 2, as Elvira did, you almost think you're home and hosed, don't you? Or do you not?
You know, you've got to. You know, he's holding an extraordinary putt just to get there. And then all of a sudden, it's a tough hole to find in 2. It's not that long. But then when your partner's, you know, 30 to 50 feet away, you've got to feel good. And he rolls it in, and the next minute you've got a 2-putt to stay with him. Extraordinary. It was just his week.
He birdied the 18th in regulation to make the playoff. If you've birdied the last hole, are you confident going into that playoff rather than the man that's in the clubhouse almost hoping for the player still out on the course to make a mistake down the last?
Well, I think you actually sit there and I've done a good week. I've had a good week this time. I birdied the last. I really couldn't have done much more. And then the guy comes along and drains one in and you know, boots back on and off you go.
What would you prefer to be, though, in the clubhouse waiting or just coming off and get set for the playoff when you've played in playoffs in the past? What did you prefer?
Yeah, possibly the best scenario is you come off the golf course. As long as you come off the golf course, you haven't given the tournament away. There's no error. He's made birdie, so now he's feeling really pumped up. The other guy would be hopeful that he didn't make birdie, but it didn't work out that way.
Well, it's been a steady rise for the young South Korean. Before winning this event, he finished tied second in the Hero Indian Open earlier this year. It's his first European Tour victory in just his 14th European Tour event. Aged 20 years and 256 days, Wang becomes the youngest winner on the European Tour since Matteo Manassero, who was 19 years and 206 days at the 2012 Barclays Singapore Open. And once again, we've got another young Asian player, Gordon, to look out for, haven't we?
Yes, I mean, in 2015, he played 16 events on the Asian Tour, didn't miss a cut. So, you know, he's done his time, and it's really nice that he's actually knocked one off in 14 events. I think that's great.
Let's hear from the European Tour's newest winner, Junghoon Wang.
Actually, I'm so excited right now. I don't remember how did I put on the last three holes in the playoff and then 16, 17 too. That was a great putt, and then I'm so happy. I think I cannot sleep tonight.
How did you feel on 18 when that putt went in to take us to a playoff? It was a very long putt.
It was long putt, but my caddy said just do not think about any like playoff or something. So I just putt without any thinking. It went in, so I got a chance. I got another chance on the first playoff, and then finally went.
It's a nervous way to win, isn't it? Having to go through a playoff. Nacho played very well as well, and you had to work really hard in those two holes.
Yes, I didn't even remember how did I putt on the last two holes, and then I was really shaking my hands. But I'm so happy with that, and I think I do well this week.
Just 20 years old, Gordon. How old were you when you secured your first title?
I was 23, my first year on tour at Porthcawl in Wales.
Were you fearless then?
I was very fearless then, yeah. I had Greg Norman, Brian Barnes down my neck, but someone said to me a long time ago, he said, you don't suffer from nerves, and I didn't suffer from nerves. I just played the shots, which was fortunate, really. It wasn't something I worked on. It was just that I had a good routine and I hit my golf shots.
Eighth first-time winner on the European Tour this season. The fourth consecutive first-time winner as well, following Andrew Johnston, who won, of course, at Valderrama. Soomin Lee, who we just mentioned, who won the Shenzhen International. And, of course, Lee Hao Tong, who won the Volvo China Open last week. The third consecutive Asian winner on the European Tour, as we've just listed. And he gains European Tour exemption until the end of the 2018 season, the largest European Tour prize of his career of €250,000. It's that exemption, though, Gordon, isn't it? Because now he can plot his way through not just the rest of this year, but next season as well. He can pick and choose to a certain extent.
Well, he can pick and choose. And the real nice thing is he can plan for what he wants to do because he's got a wonderful exemption. Going back to tour school, the end of the year is not a destination you want to go to.
Let's talk our way through the rest of the top of the leaderboard. First of all, Robert Rock, who finished one shot behind the leaders, but the Englishman admits it should have been better.
Tough to take. I think played really good, and the plan was to get to 5 under and kind of see what happened, and I did that and then messed it up. Wedge shot on 15 that went too far, and then an 8-iron on 16 that didn't go far enough. And they were both hit nicely, so it was frustrating to see them end up in difficult spots, and I couldn't get them up and down. So shaved the edge of the hole on 17 and then couldn't chip it in either. So disappointed now.
Clément Barrado was the other man to finish tied third, but despite a career best finish, the Frenchman also feels it should have been more.
I saved a lot of pars with really good putts, so I guess it's fair. When you leader and you have 4 or 5 holes to play, you think you can do better, but well, I save a lot of power with really good putts. I missed a few at the end, but I guess it's normal.
Clément Barrado, who I've got to confess didn't know too much about ahead of the week, and his career hopefully will kick on. At the start of his career at the moment, we've seen him play on the Challenge Tour, but not perform particularly well. But even then, listening to his interview, he's disappointed he didn't get the win.
Well, I think he has to understand it's a little bit of a learning curve. He said he's made some good saves, you know, so he kept himself going. And also, it is a different scenario when you get to the lead or you're within one of the leads, you know, you see something different. So, you know, it's a learning curve for him. He doesn't need to do anything different over the last five holes. He just doesn't need to play poorly. And he made some putts and he missed some putts. So a good learning curve for him.
Chris Hansen led heading into the final day, but the Englishman admits the tough conditions got the better of him.
I'm not a fan of playing in the rain, so dug in nice and deep early on and managed to keep it going respectably. And then nice little chipping got me back to 6 under and still top of the leaderboard. So I felt I played actually really nice today. Got a little bit unlucky down 8, a decent drive down the right rough, and then hit a really good 6-iron and caught the only branch what could stop it and made double. So overall, really good day, really happy, fantastic experience, and can't wait to get to Mauritius next week.
He led after 54 holes. You've got an awful lot of time to think about your lead, I guess, between rounds. Is there more pressure on a player that hasn't won on the European Tour when you've led after 3 and you've got overnight to think about it and start maybe to try and work out where you might pick up some shots rather than hitting the front late on if you're a maiden on tour?
I don't think there is pressure. I think it's expectation from yourself as how you should do. Because the expectation, if Chris is leading this week and next week, that he's going to fall away because he has no record. So you have to just go out and play your game and perform like you have the last 3 days. It was almost like, oh, I need to do something different on Sunday. No, you don't. You just have to do what you've done the last 3 days. And I think it's expectation and worry that really, all of a sudden, you know, there's a double thrown in. Wow, that's the first time I've had a double all week. You know, well, it is the expectation and your worry.
Chris finishing with a 75 on day 4. Let's rattle through the top 10 from the Trophy Hassan d'Ain. Tied 10th, 3 players, Englishman Joshua White with Australian Jason Scrivener and the Italian Renato Paratore. And then Christopher Mueck, the Austrian, in 8th alongside Jose Felipe Lima of Portugal. David Dixon finished 7th, 2 under for the tournament. Chris Hansen, as we've found out, finished 5th, the Englishman, alongside an Italian, Nino Bertasio. And then in tied 3rd, Robert Rock, 4 under par, alongside Clement Barrado. And then the two that contested the playoff, Nacho Elvira, eventually 2nd, because our winner was the South Korean Jung-Hoon Wang, who won at the 2nd extra hole of the playoff. Moving on to the Race to Dubai standings, no change here. Soomin Lee still in 10th place. He's played 6 tournaments so far on the schedule. Charles Schwartzel in 9th. Joost Luiten is currently in 8th. Lee Westwood had a great Masters, of course, in 7th. Brandon Grace in 6th. Henrik Stenson in 5th place. Rory McIlroy, who played on the PGA Tour last week, in 4th. Rafa Cabrera-Bello in 3rd. Louis Oosthuizen in 2nd. And, of course, the green jacket wearer, Danny Willett, still tops the rankings when it comes to the Race to Dubai. Fantasy Race to Dubai tips next. Last week, Gordon, Robert Lee went for Alexander Levy, who finished 34th. Not bad for Rob.
You know, when it comes to me to pick these, I'm terrible. I'm horrendous. So Robert's, that's a result for me, 34th.
John Hawksmith went for Dean Burmester in 14th.
Tied 14th is a dream for me.
So those were our two selections from the boys last week. They did make the cut, but they didn't manage to find the winner, or indeed a top 10. I was hoping for more for Gordon when we get round to the Mauritius Open, but obviously, Gordon, you're doing your chances down already. You know, you're talking like, you've got to get in the right mindset, Gordon.
Okay, fine.
As for the Fantasy Race to Dubai, Danny Curtin extended his lead at the top of the global leaderboard. His team, named I'll Just Hit Another, is the first team to earn more than 8 million points. He leads Mark Riddle and Bjarne Rasmussen after 5 weeks of the new game. Let's move on to the Ryder Cup standings. No changes when it comes to the Ryder Cup standings. On the European points list, 4 qualify, of course, and the top 4 like this. Danny Willett, Rory McIlroy, Matt Fitzpatrick and Andy Sullivan. And from the world points list, we will see 5 qualify for Darren Clark's side. As it stands at the moment, those not already qualified via the European points list are Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Sergio Garcia and Torbjörn Olesen. Finally, just before we leave Morocco, history was made this week at Royal Golf Dar es Salaam with the European Tour and the Ladies European Tour, both staging events at the stunning venue near the Moroccan coast. The men teed it up on the red course, while over on the blue course, the women competed in the Lala Meriem Cup as the two tours came together at one venue for for the first time. European Tour CEO Keith Pelley says we may see this happen again.
Well, I think that we both have the exact same goal, and that is to grow professional golf and to go grow golf in general. So there are a lot of similarities between our goals and our objectives. So we want to work closer together, and we will be. We've had some preliminary conversations now, and hope to have more going forward.
Great to see the ladies alongside the men, the supporters, the fans, those the galleries certainly got their money's worth last week, Gordon.
Well, I think it's something different, isn't it? I think it's nice to see. I mean, beautiful golf course, Dar es Salaam by the coast. But, you know, I think we've got they've got to mix it up. They can't just keep the European Tour as it was. You know, I think it's good to have a change. We played a mixed event a while back. I know that wasn't a part of the European Tour, but I think those sort of things are going to make a change and make the European Tour look different.
In other news, to the PGA Tour first, and a playoff was also required to settle the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow Club in North Carolina. James Harn beat fellow American Roberto Castro in a decider after both finished on 9 under par. Justin Rose finished third, with Rory McIlroy in tied fourth. Let's hear from our winner.
It's special. You know, anytime you have an opportunity to win, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in playoff or the 72nd hole. You know, I honestly didn't look at the scoreboard at all today. Didn't know that I had to two-putt the last hole. 18's playing tough. I doubt anyone's going to birdie that hole today. But, you know, after I had missed the putt for par, looked up and saw that, you know, I was solo first, and then I was going to move back to tie for first. So, you know, anytime you're given a second opportunity, you really have to take advantage of it, and did well to do that today.
I do find that incredible, Gordon. He missed a six-footer for par that would have seen him win in regulation, and he says that he doesn't look at leaderboards.
I'm a bit with you on that. I don't understand it, because you play a golf tournament to do your best and to beat everybody else. And so if you have an idea of how you are doing, whether you're in first place or whether it might be to sneak into 10th place, you know, you do change your attitude a little bit. And so not to look at leaderboards is extraordinary.
We've got to mention Messrs. McIlroy and Rose. Justin Rose, first of all, he was in a great position to win down the stretch, certainly heading into the back nine, but he's had one or two failures recently, Justin.
Well, exactly. He's birdied 10 to get to 10 under par, and then on 12 and 16, he's bogeyed. And, you know, as strong as the US PGA is, you just can't do that. You're going to go backwards. But at the end of the day, Justin's been playing quite well. He's quite a consistent player. I mean, as Rory there, he shot 66 to really come up the field.
He did. He was a fast finisher, but he doesn't, at the minute at least, seem to be able to put that type of round together when he's in contention.
Well, when he's on fire, I remember Quail Hollow when I think he shot 62 to just to make it look so easy. He can make it look incredibly easy, and we almost expect him to do that every single week. It's interesting that he does have very good last rounds when he's necessarily not there to drag him up the field. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Is that a pressure thing?
I don't think he suffers from nerves or pressure or anything. I think you just see him golf and it's just incredible. You know, he's got everything in the bag, and I just think he certainly hasn't been firing on all cylinders all 4 days.
Top 10 in the world look like this. No change. Justin Rose at number 10. Danny Willett, number 9. Dustin Johnson at 8. Adam Scott, 7. Henrik Stenson, 6. Ricky Fowler, who led going into the final round at Quail Hollow, stays in 5th. Bubba Watson, 4th. Rory McIlroy remains 3rd in the top 2, as you were. Jordan Spieth in 2nd. And Jason Day, of course, tops the rankings. In other news, Sweden's Jesper Parnevik has won his first PGA Tour Champions title with victory at the Insperity Invitational. The 51-year-old shot a 5 under 67 for a 4-stroke victory in Texas.
It feels fantastic, actually. I'm still a bit in the shock, because when it's been this long, you know, you don't even remember how it is. And to win this event, I have to say, Insperity, they do such a great job with the tournament. I played here for the first time last year. I didn't do very well. But me and my wife Mia was here, and we had a great time with all the legends here doing what they're doing. And then you have, you know, the normal tournament and all that, and they did such a great job organizing, volunteers, everything. So I think most guys would agree it's probably one of the favorite weeks of the year.
Jesper Parnevik, who has been a bit flaky in the past, but finally getting the job done on the Seniors Tour, the Champions Tour, Gordon.
Someone who now is going to relish playing on the Champions Tour. It sort of is the last hope for us golfers, you know, 50 onwards. So it'd be a great time for Jasper on
that. You did play with him, of course. How good a player was he on the European Tour, on the World Tours when he was in his pomp?
He was a great player. Very, very good in the wind as well. Steep, big divots, but great, great player and a great character as well.
Well, the European Tour is to visit Thailand for the second time in 2016 when the King's Cup, co-sanctioned with the Asian Tour, is played at the Phoenix Gold Golf Club in Pattaya in July. It's the first time Thailand has featured on the European Tour international schedule twice in a season. The field will be made up of 90 players from the Asian Tour, 25 from the European Tour and 25 from the Thailand PGA, with prize money counting towards both the Race to Dubai and the Asian Tour Order of Merit. And finally, two-time major champion Martin Kaymer has confirmed he will be part of the world-class field for the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth Club from May 26th to the 29th. It will be the German's 10th appearance in the tournament. Let's move on to this week's event, the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open. This week on the Race to Dubai, we head to the Indian Ocean for the event staged at the Four Seasons Golf Club at Anahita. George Coetzee is the defending champion from 2015. Fellow South African Dean Burmester began well before finishing tied 20th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really do enjoy the climate. Obviously, you know, African climate, even this week, you know, we're back closer to home, so it's nice. And yeah, we're looking forward to next week, and it should be great fun. And I think the guys will probably enjoy it more than I will.
Dean Burmester, who'll be hoping to go a little better than last year. This is a new course, though, Gordon. What do we know about it?
Well, it's an Ernie Els design set on the course, and as Dean was explaining there, the conditions, which would be hot and sticky, as he's saying, they'll be very much used to those conditions. Windy golf course as well, so it's going to take someone with some skills. Grass as well, the greens always tend to be grainy. Grain goes towards the sea, so it'd be an interesting tournament.
Good mix and match when it comes to the field as well. We've got one or two familiar faces, one or two youngsters, and one or two recent tour winners teeing it up.
This is an opportunity for anyone to make his mark or even to just get his season going, because the big names necessarily aren't there, or the bigger names, I should say. And it does gain an opportunity for an awful lot of people, as happened last week, as to make their mark.
Yeah, Soomin Lee scheduled to play, Hatung Lee as well, Scott Hend, of course, Andrew Doak. We've got one or two previous winners on the European Tour looking to make their mark once again. One or two that we haven't heard too much of in recent times, the likes of Daniel Chopra and also Arjun Atwal might go well. We need a selection from you, Gordon. Who might be the winner out in Mauritius this week?
I'm going for George Coetzee. I'm going to say
back to back,
yeah. And so, you know, hopefully you finish within the top 30, because that would be a result for my picks.
Yeah, let's hope we haven't jinxed
George with
your particular fancy. I'm going to go with Scott Hend, who's done well on the European Tour, certainly out in Asia.
As long as he keeps holding second shots on par five.
Well, let's hope so. You never know.
He
can do that. Yeah, he's a winner in Hong Kong and certainly a player with bags of ability. Now, that is your lot. Please join us next week when we review the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open, and we look ahead to the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr. and myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.